Good morning again, and it's so good to be in the presence of the Lord, you know. It really is. So this morning, I'd like to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah, a famous passage in Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, and I'm going to be reading the first three and a half verses. Isaiah 61. This is a very famous passage of Scripture because it's a passage of Scripture that Jesus picks up when he begins his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, to identify his ministry and what it is, who he is, and what he's going to be doing in his ministry. He pulls from this passage of Scripture. So it's very significant, and I've chosen to read this because I'm after one verse in particular, verse 3, and to put it in to exactly where it belongs, and that is what Jesus has done for us in his great salvation. One of the things that we may not think about. But here we go, Isaiah 63:1. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Aren't you glad for that? "To proclaim freedom for the captives." We experienced that sound of freedom this morning. "And release from darkness for the prisoners." Now, this is all in what Jesus' ministry does, that he continues to do. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Isn't that nice? You know, it's a kind of an understatement, but to say, you know what? This year in my life is going to be the year of the Lord's favor. We believe that. "And day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning." And here's what I'm after: "and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Let's pray. Father, as we now look into your word, we believe that you speak to us. And I pray, God, that somehow in the way in which your Holy Spirit works, for this word to stick in our lives this morning. Speak to us, as I asked, O Lord, and cause there to be this explosion inside of our lives. As we realize this word, not only understanding this word, but to come into its experience. In Christ's name, amen. And so here we are. This past summer, Sandra and I, we got an invitation to our neighbor's wedding. And the wedding was on the beach, right where we live. There's a beach there, and this young man grew up there, and so he got married on the beach there. And then there's a little note at the bottom of the invitation that said something to the effect, you know, about how to dress for the occasion. And, you know, dress appropriate for a beach wedding, you know, an outdoor wedding. And so we did. So I did not wear shorts. Some people did. I had just a pair of, you know, casual slacks on, short sleeve shirt, that kind of thing. And so, you know, as we receive these kinds of invitations, and you've received them to maybe more formal events or formal weddings, and it will tell you, you know, the dress code and the little note indicating the proper attire. And let me say that this morning that in the invitation that we receive to worship God, there is a proper attire. And that proper attire is the garment of praise. Did you know that? And Sunday morning worship, or what we refer to as church, you know, you're going to church, yes, I'm going to church. Sunday morning worship is the Holy Spirit's invitation to worship God. And we have to really take note of that, that more than just, you know, the routine of my Sunday morning, which is a good routine, to go to church, that we are responding in obedience to an invitation the Holy Spirit. And you'd be as uncomfortable as showing up to church without your praise on as showing up to a beach wedding in a three-piece suit or a long, formal flowing gown. Unless, of course, you have your praise on when you come to church. You want to be in place. You want to feel in place. You want to feel like, you're dressed in the right clothes. It's got to be what? The garment of praise. So you notice here in this verse, in this whole description of what it says, that how it is that Jesus has been given to us in his salvation. And all of those things that go into, that are packaged, if you will, in salvation. And so readily when we think about Jesus' salvation, for us it's only one dimensional. A good dimension, but only one dimension. And that is, well, the forgiveness of my sins. That's big, that's major. And certainly it is there. But as we see from this scripture, and so much more, that in his salvation there is so much more included along with the forgiveness of sins. And one of those things packaged in that salvation for you and me is that what Jesus does for us, even as we sang about it this morning, how the tomb is empty and I can come out of my tomb and how there is life for me in as much as he has life, that there is also for me a change of clothing. A change of clothing. And the change of clothing is appropriate to the event to which we have received an invitation. And the event that we have all received invitation to is to worship God. And so he has given us the garments of praise to do that. Without those garments, well, it's impossible. But the good news is he has given to us the garments of praise in his salvation for me. So that in coming to Christ is coming to receive an exchange of, and who wouldn't want to give up, I like the way the King James Version puts it, a spirit of heaviness. Here it says a spirit of despair. Who wouldn't want to exchange that for a garment of praise? No, let me keep my despair. No, in his salvation, he has done that for us. He has given to us garments of praise. And so corporate worship, and for our purposes this morning, I'm defining that corporate worship as showing up, coming together, responding to the Holy Spirit's invitation to give God praise in unison, or to give God praise together. It's one of the most important things we do when we come together to praise God. Church is nothing if not a coming together to experience God in worship. Now notice what I'm saying. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. That it's more than just me mouthing words or fulfilling a time slot or doing my religious or my Sunday morning thing. But it is really coming together to worship God and to experience God in worship. So that I feel him. So if there's something, there's something going on inside of me, there's something relational that's happening. And above all, it is not a personal thing only. It is that, but it's bigger than that. So that when we think about it, we have to help ourselves to get out of this, our individuality, our individual thinking of things, our Pizza Hut personal, personal pan pizza type of thing, And as true as that is, yet we have to see ourselves as a church, as a body that's been called together to worship together, so that it's not enough and that God is worshiped by me when I come to church to worship him. And that somehow there's this response from my life in the invitation. And I'm putting on this, my garment of praise. And I'm getting my praise on. And if there isn't this sensing that, we're all there together. Well, then somehow our worship really isn't there yet. Until there is this together in worship. And that's how we have to think about it. After all, as I said, we are the body of Christ. It's the most important thing that we do. And there is this experiencing God in worship. As the psalmist said, he inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, God lives in our praise. He lives in our praise. His address. You say, where does God live? Well, his address is P-R-A-I-S-E, praise. It's where God lives. And so when we praise him, he comes and he begins to inhabit those praises. He makes himself known to us in those praises. He reveals himself to us in those praises because he is receiving that from us. And so we must always remember that it's an invitation that we're responding to. I really want to underline that this morning. You have been brought here, we have been brought here this morning by the Holy Spirit to do what we're doing. We have to see that. So, when we come together, as we have been invited to this place by the Holy Spirit, we're able to choose from a great variety of ways that are appropriate to God's majesty in our praise of God. And we sing, as we've done this morning, we lift our hands in worship. There is dancing as an expression of praise by which we worship God. There's kneeling, there's singing in the Spirit, there's shouting. There are so many ways, especially as you read, as I mentioned, from the book of Psalms, where he speaks about all these various ways. And we tap into those. And the thing that I want us to see is that it's like, well, in that kind of variety, you know, the unison into togetherness doesn't mean uniformity. Uniformity. When you begin to legislate uniformity, you don't have church, you don't have the body of Christ anymore, you have a cult. That's what you have, you know. And so God has so arranged this kind of variety. And it's not to suggest, well, you know what, I'm kind of a quiet person, but, you know, I don't shout. Well, there are times when I, being a quiet person, guess what? And the whole, there's that variety of where, man, I just want to express myself to God in a shout. And I worship, and there's that, and that is a bona fide way of praising God. And it's not my intent to talk about the varieties of praise, but just to make that point. And the point is this, that let me make the point by quoting someone here, Frederick Buechner. He says this about praise. He says, unless there is an element of joy and foolishness in the praise, the time would be better spent doing something useful. And when I think about that, you know, it's like there is a place for sorrow. There's a place for sorrow in praise. Lament, it's called. And there are so many psalms that are what we call the psalms of lament, where the psalmist is pouring out his heart to God in a cry. And that in itself is indeed, it's praise. And at the same time that there is this undercurrent, there always needs to be this undercurrent of the kind of thing that we see happen when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And it says that when David was doing this, he started to praise God. And everybody joined suit. And it said he started to dance before the Lord, right? And he got pretty ridiculous looking. So much so that his wife was looking on. And she said, what? Doesn't he look like a jerk? Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. You know, I think David had a little bit more rhythm than I did, so he must have, you know, I mean, really. But the point is that when you think about the things that we praise, and I want to be careful here. I just want to make this point that we're moving on real quickly here. But listen. You know, people that we praise, They do a good job, our kids. And we're almost over the top foolish with it, you know, sometimes. things that we enjoy, from sports to other activities or whatever, and we get our praise on for those things, and you know, we get so excited about those things. And people who get off on and excited about music or concerts and all these kinds of things, and they get their praise on, and looking from the sidelines, you'd say, boy, how foolish. And somehow that doesn't translate into, and it ought to, our praise of God, where that kind of stuff anyways originated. Those others are just at times even substitutes of the real deal, of what we ought to bring to the table when we praise God. You know? Ah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And so let's move on. So worship is as much for God as it is, or as much for us as it is for God, if in fact not more for us. What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, God, He takes pleasure and He takes joy in the sacrifice of our praise. Inasmuch as your children, you know, they receive a gift from you, or, you know, they're just nestled in the security of you as their dad, their mom, and you begin receiving, you know, the praise from them in one form or another. How does it make you feel? You know, you put your, wow, you know, that's my boy, you know, that's, yeah. And you got all this inner stuff going on of pleasure and joy. Well, when we praise the Lord, it's the same way with Him. Not that He needs it, but He wants that and He receives that from us. And so much more. Now, let me just say this about what's for us in it, okay? Here's the first thing. When you praise God, one of the things that's happening is that you begin to change perspectives. Yours for His. The praise begins to lift you above your circumstances, above your situations. And when you begin to praise, an exchange happens and you begin to see things the way God sees them, above the way you see them. That's the first thing that happens. The second thing that happens is that when you and I praise, and we come together on Sunday morning to praise, we are releasing God into our circumstances. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. We are releasing God into our circumstances when we praise Him. Instead of releasing our circumstances into the anxiety of our hearts, who doesn't live there? Come on, who doesn't live there? Confess up. How often does that happen? Every day. That when we begin to praise, we release God into our circumstances. Come on now. And here's the other thing that happens. When we praise, we receive something from God that we've never received before. We're going to receive something from Him. Boy, I didn't see that like that before. Oh, that's what I'm, you know, that's how to see this kind of thing. It really does work that way. Then, on top of those kinds of things, there's a strength that we get when we worship with one another. You know, it's okay. And we receive strength when you pray with someone, you know, another person, a couple people, and there's strength in numbers, isn't there? When we come together as God's people, and there is this sense among us of the 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 people among us of, wow, you know, yes, we're praising God together. There is a strength that happens to me by that mutual praise that's going on among us. A strength happens. And I leave better than when I came. There's that kind of thing that happens. And heaven help us, but when we praise, it becomes a current begins to, we begin to feel this current of the Spirit moving among us that He says, you know what, I want to do some special things among you. And we have a releasing of spiritual gifts, maybe a word of prophecy. Maybe someone says, you know what, I just have this pounding in my heart that we need to pray for so-and-so for God to heal them. God's going to relift, there's going to be a spiritual gift of healing that's going to happen. Spiritual gifts. You know? And then there are special encounters that happen when we praise. special encounters with God when we do praise together. And for those moments, it's almost like doubt becomes suspended and you don't even really need faith, because it's like, wow, this is incredible. And God, we have these God encounters among us. And that kind of thing. And you say, well, what was it that did it? Praise precipitated that, our praise together. Okay, let me wrap this up and give you a few things. I'm afraid to tell you how many, because I'm back to one of my old habits. That's it. I just have three things.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah, you're wonderful. So I want to look at a few things that to look for if you can't get your praise on in worship. If you can't get your praise on in worship, it may indicate one of five things. Okay? It may indicate. It may indicate that your heart has grown cold. If you can't get your praise on, your heart has grown cold. And I'm not going to give a lot of commentary on any of these, much commentary, but there are a lot of reasons why our hearts grow cold. You know? And I can't get my praise on. You know, maybe it isn't the music, maybe it isn't the song. Sometimes it is. Don't get me wrong. You know, sometimes it can be. You know, I'm just not into that, the way that they're doing it, the way I just can't do it. But there has to be also this awareness among us that, boy, you know what? Maybe something has grown cold in me that I'm not able to connect and get my praise on. Okay, here's the second thing. Maybe there's a blockage that needs to be cleared. See, not that I'm not able to get my praise on in worship when we come to church, it may indicate that there's a blockage that needs to be cleared in my life. And, you know, Scripture says that the Lord won't hear me if I regard iniquity in my heart. And, you know, if maybe there's something there that needs to be confessed. Maybe there's something there going on in my life that I need to say, Holy Spirit, you know, what's there's something that's blocking this praise that wants to come out. And you know, you feel like it. You know, you feel like, man, I need to step into this. Man, I need to, you know, raise my hands and praise God, or I want to engage. But, man, there's just something's not right. Well, you got to get right. You know, there's a blockage that needs to be cleared. Let's turn the tables a little bit and look at it from another perspective, okay? It may indicate that you're on track to learn how to worship God through pain, difficulties, hardships, and life's intended ambiguities.
That's number three.
Yeah, number three. So that praise is pushing through the pain. You know, I can't tell you how many mornings I've awakened to go to the gym at, you know, 3:30, and I've had to push through the pain of my entire body shutting down and saying, you fool, you fool, you fool. You know, get back in bed. And pushing through the pain pays off when I make it to the gym, you know. And life is like that. Getting our praise on sometime is like that. Wouldn't it be nice if you could eliminate pain, difficulties, hardships, and life's ambiguities? That's what heaven's for, by the way. So don't get your hopes up. You know, don't get your hopes up. And so we get our praise on, and sometimes, man, it's like, boy, this thing isn't just happening. And maybe one of the reasons why it isn't happening is because you got to still do it, even though there's the pain, hardships, difficulties, and one of life's many ambiguities. Number four, here's another biggie, right? It just may indicate, if you can't get your praise on in worship, it just may indicate your faith is being challenged to praise without feeling it. We are so conditioned to do it if we feel it, right? Well, if I feel it, I'm into it. If I don't feel it, what? It just may indicate that sometimes. Okay, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like praising God, but I'm going to do this by faith because I don't live by what? By feelings, but we live by, how often do we say that? Every. I live by faith. Okay, now put your action where your faith is. See? If we live by faith, well, let's do it. Okay, so here's the last one, and I'm done. I keep on looking at my brace. I always learn time. Rosar. It's the Lord's Prayer. I keep, that's not going to do it. Here's the last one, number 5. It may indicate that you got to get over inhibitions that prevent you from worshiping God in the company of other people. Yeah. What are they going to think? I'm going to look stupid. I don't have the best voice. Well, do us all a favor. If you don't have the best voice, sing quietly. Just sing quietly. You know, that. There you go. You know, I'm joking halfway. So that. But we do have those kinds of inhibitions about us. You know, what other people are going to say? What other people are going to think? I'm going to look foolish. I'm going to look foolish. Going to look stupid. And maybe, you know, maybe, but maybe not. Maybe to be tremendously releasing for you. And so there they are.